Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kendall, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How you doing?
Doing well.
We're doing okay. You know, we're a little bit let down by the Bulls' performance. I didn't think it was going to be easy, but when I saw that Zion was out, I thought, well, that's a break. And then I thought Zach got going a little toward the end of the first half, and I thought, you know, this could be an interesting game. And then they just they were turning the ball over too much. I don't know how else to say it, and I think Billy kind of said that too in the post game. When you're giving the ball away and you want to play a certain fashion, it's just going to blow up on you.
Yeah, and that was the reason why they lost yesterday. I mean, 21 turnovers, and those 21 turnovers turned into 30 points for the Pelicans. And that was the game right there. You got to take care of the basketball, especially when you're playing against the best players in the world. But I attribute it to first game. Guys aren't used to playing, the starting five isn't used to playing with each other as much as they should be because, during preseason you're playing all different types of lineups and things like that. Kobe White is trying to get used to a new role of playing off of the basketball, and he exclusively played point guard last year. So, it's going to be a transition, but, I think that, next three or four games, they'll iron out all the kinks. But the one thing that I did like is that the way that Lonzo came back. I mean, they look like when he's on the floor, they look like a whole different team, man. They look like they did when Lonzo first came to Chicago about 3 or 4 years ago.
I agree with that. There's a stabilizing impact that he has immediately. Yeah. I just wonder how many minutes he can play, what that's going to increase to, and then the back-to-backs is an issue. Kendall, overall, stylistically, what did you think about this? The whole change in approach that Billy Donovan is introducing this year? They shot 34 threes last night, which was about 13 fewer than they averaged in preseason. Do you think that the up-tempo approach, do you think the three-point emphasis is something that the Bulls can pull off?
Well, I mean, I think it's something that they have to do because you look at the way that the league is going. You look at Boston the other night, I believe that was Tuesday night, the first game. They almost set a record in three-point shots made, and that's one of the Boston Celtics' strong points is shooting a lot of threes and making a lot of threes. Now, the thing is that, I think that Billy is trying to lean towards that way of playing. The Bulls are number one in pace during the preseason and second in three-point attempts. I think it can be done. They just need to be able to iron out all the kinks as far as turning the basketball over. You need the ball in order if you're going to shoot all those three-point shots and you can't give it away. I think that's why we didn't see what we saw in the preseason yesterday.
Kendall, who's their best three-point shooter?
Oh, Zach, I believe. Zach showed that yesterday. I mean, he went 5 for 6 from three-point line yesterday in the first half. He had 19 points in the first half, but only ended up with only 8 points in the second half. You got to find situations in which you can, you got to operate to the hot hand. But I think that Zach did a pretty good job yesterday. I mean, a fantastic job yesterday in the first half. And, I think he's coming into this season with a point to prove. He was injured last year, but, he's trying to get back to that all-star level. I think in the first half, he took a tremendous step, towards, regaining, the way that he played 2 or 3 years ago.
And he just got to protect the basketball too, as well. 7 turnovers.
Yeah, seven turnovers.
If you're looking for bright spots, one emerged. I feel like Jalen Smith was pretty good. 17 minutes.
He
had 15 points, and he hadn't done that or looked as good in preseason. Kendall, last night it looked like he was a guy that could help them in that rotation. What role do you think he plays? Is he going to be the guy that epitomizes that sort of 3-and-D approach? Because he's not really the guy that you think of as your prototypical five.
No, he's not. I mean, actually, David, I would like to see him go along and play power forward with Vooch some, you know, because I think that he spreads the court out. Then you have two big men in there that are capable, and I love his tenacity, the way that he attacks the rim. He's got a little bit of nastiness to him, which you always need. You need one or two of those guys on your team always. And he can step out and knock down that three-point shot. So I was really, really impressed with him. I didn't see him doing this in the preseason, but, you know, it seems like the first game he says, okay, I'm going to show you guys what I can do, and I really liked it. But, you know, I would love to see him alongside Vooch in the lineup.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I think that there are all sorts of possibilities. I was surprised that they played as many guys as they did, and maybe that's just because it's the start of the season and you're establishing roles to begin with. But I wonder, you know, when we look at Lonzo Ball, and I agree that they are good when he's on the floor, the problem is he's only allowed 16 minutes. I think he only played 14, so that's the low end of the minutes limits, and that's going to be a problem for a while. And I just wonder how you build up a role for yourself if you're not going to be playing. Like, they got games Friday and Saturday, so they have to decide whether to play them Friday or Saturday. And I don't know if they've announced that yet, but I would imagine they want to get them in the game at home, but who knows?
Yeah, and you know, I think that it's a progression thing. I think that you have to see how does your knee feel today? Is there any soreness? Then you progress to playing a little bit more minutes. Then once you get past that stage, then you see, okay, well, let's try him on the back-to-back and see how he feels. And then once we try him on the back-to-back, then possibly not play him the following game after that and see how he feels. It's a progression thing, because I can tell you, I would love to see him at 25, 26 minutes a game because of the way that he orchestrates that offense. I mean, I was looking at the little subtleties he was doing yesterday. When he got the basketball, immediately looks up court, you know, because he knows the point guard position so well. He's looking for guys as soon as he touches the basketball, throws an alley-oop to Zach LaVine. And all it was they didn't even talk. They just communicated through eye contact, and Zach knew exactly what to do. That's what happens when you have an elite point guard like Lonzo Ball. You know, it's just now that hopefully we got to pray to the guys that his knee is not sore and that he can hold up and that he can progress. Because if he can do that, then we're talking about a totally different ball club.
You're so right. And I thought it was interesting watching the game, and I think it was Adam and Stacey were talking about the Lonzo Ball effect on Zion Williamson. And when he left, that there hasn't been as many dunks or alley-oops to Zion, because right, they were referencing that pass that you saw, the alley-oop, and that was such a beautiful pass, and also just the vision it required to him to anticipate that. Those are the little things that make a big difference.
Yeah, and, you know, to use a football analogy, he throws you open.
Yes.
And when you have a quarterback like that, you love playing with it. It makes totally everybody runs. Everybody knows who to give the basketball to. I think a couple of times yesterday's game that we were trying to get the basketball, we didn't to the point guard, but we didn't know who the point guard really was at that point or that stage in the game. Well, should we throw it to Josh? Should we throw it to Kobe? Should we throw it to Zach? When Lonzo Ball is on the floor, you know who to throw it to. Okay, that's where the basketball is going, and he's going to get it to who's ever open. That's what he does for your team.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we talk a lot about player development, this being a season for player development. Can you think of guys that can become better three-point shooters than they are? Is that something that practice makes perfect? Can you go into a gym and be a better shooter, or do you have to kind of know how to shoot and then get better at it? Is the shot doctor going to turn people into better three-point shooters?
Yeah, I think Peter Patton has done a wonderful job over there. You look at how well Io has been shooting the basketball throughout preseason, how he progressed last year. I think that anybody, if you put the work in, can become a really good shooter. You know, I think that the work that Peter's going to do with Josh is going to really improve his game. I think with Modest, Lucellus is going to do wonders for him coming in as a rookie and having Peter Patton there to hone his skills as a shooter. You just need to put the work in, and you need to do it correctly. Some guys will go and shoot 500 shots a day, but they'll do it the wrong way.
Right.
You know, that's why you need a guy like Peter Patton there to say, listen, no, we need to shoot 500 like this. And, you know, I think that everybody can improve. I think that you've seen improvement. You know, and even when you can shoot the three-point shot, you can still improve if you continue to put the work in.
How do you see this season unfolding for Vooch? Because I think he sometimes is the guy that we overlook, and with all this emphasis on the changing the style of play, being up-tempo. You're talking about a guy that isn't exactly fit. He doesn't exactly fit into that profile of being an up-tempo guy. Now, he can hit the three, but he's not somebody who runs up and down the floor that well at this stage of his career. And you wonder, he gave you 21 and 11 last night, but he also was a guy they didn't throw the ball to sometimes when he was open. So I wonder, Kendall, what should we expect this season from Vooch?
I think you can expect to see double-doubles all season long. You know, with this era of knocking down three-point shots or getting up as many three-point shots as you can, I think an emphasis on post-play has disappeared. And, you know, guys, if they don't see post play all the time, they don't know how to defend it. So now, and I've been saying this for 3-4 years, ever since Vooch got here, that his main strength is being on the post. Can he knock down a three-point shot? Yeah, he can knock it down. But his main strength is being down on that block like you saw him last night. He was taking advantage of everybody that tried to guard him down there last night. And you're right, David, we did miss him a couple times. So, you know, there has to be an emphasis also to throw the ball down in the post so we can take it. Because guys in this era don't know how to guard the post. So if you got a post player, you got to utilize them. And I think that that's what Vooch is going to do throughout the whole season.
I know you liked what you saw from Josh Giddey. I was a little disappointed he's not a better scorer. He doesn't seem like a natural scorer. And, in fact, he had a couple rebounds, a couple putbacks, which is great if you're down low. But when you're exchanging twos for threes and he's kind of getting his own shot a little bit, I don't know how I feel about him. And I'm very curious to see him against Oklahoma City.
Yeah, for our first game, as I said before, I think everything will work out with him. I love the way that he can push the basketball and get downhill at 6'7", 6'8". And the thing you have to watch with Josh is the way that when he gets paint touches. If he's getting paint touches, meaning that he's getting into the paint with the basketball off of his drive and then kicking to his teammate, that's almost just as good as scoring, because now the defense has to collapse on him and now he's getting open shots for his teammates. I think that's the strength of his game. Is he going to score some? Yeah, he's going to score some. Is he going to knock down a three here and there? Yeah, he's going to do that. But I think the most important part for him is to penetrate, get in that lane, get those guys defensively to double-team him and then kick out to his teammates. That's going to be the strength of his game.
How do you keep Patrick Williams from losing confidence after a start like that? Seven shots. And I think Patrick Williams is one of those guys that, again, feels like he's on the spot, feels like he needs to come through. It feels like he's in a similar situation that he's been in previous seasons. He's not that old, Kendall, but it feels like time or patience, at least, might be running out with him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the answer to that question. I mean, you know, he's just got to go get it. You know, he's been given his contract. He's been given the years that are required for a draft pick for you to develop him. You know, it's time now. And, you know, hopefully Patrick can get it together. And look, he's a wonderfully talented player. I mean, I believe that when he really gets it, that he can go and dominate anybody, because physically at 6'8", 235 pounds or whatever he is, and all of the athletic intangibles that he has, that's everything that you want. Now it needs to be turned on upstairs about, you know, the mentality needed, you know. And I wish I could have him in the boxing gym for like a summer. Right? And then we can put him in there with some guys, and you know, when you get in that boxing ring, he'll do or die. So, and that's the same mentality that he has to have when he steps out there on that court. Now when he finally gets it, you know, I feel sorry for a lot of guys in the NBA, because he's gonna destroy somebody. Now it's just a matter of him getting it.
I think the other element, and I heard Billy talk about it briefly, like the defensive issues seemed apparent like immediately. And I don't know if it's – I don't know if hustle plays or diving on the floor or winning loose balls or 50-50, but whatever way you want to look at it, they did not manage to win their share. It seemed like a lopsided number were going the other way, and I don't know if you can win when you can't shut anybody down or kind of get some of those balls that are available to you.
Yeah, you heard Stacey and Adam talk about that last night on the broadcast as well, about getting the 50-50 balls. And that's one thing. And then, again, I go back to this is the first game. So, yeah. You know, there are kinks to be worked out. And that's inevitable with any NBA team. And what you have to do, you have to go back. You have to watch the film. The guys, we need to take care of the basketball in these aspects. And also, we can't win because we're a smaller team if we lose the 50-50 balls and we don't gang rebound. I think that's what we have to establish right away, that we're going to be a tough, defensive-minded team that rebounds, runs, and pushes the pace. They got to know, an opposing NBA team has to know that the Chicago Bulls, when you go and you play them, you're in for a tough night. This is not going to – you got to bring your hard hat and lunch pail. That's the identity that, you know, I think that Billy is going to establish in the next couple of games, you know, because like I said before, first game, you're dealing with all types of combinations off of the bench and starting lineups. You got to see what's what. And then after that, you can decide, okay, this is where we need to improve and everybody can get on the same page.
So Kendall, so much conversation about this Bulls team is surrounded, protecting the top 10 draft pick. And so much of the conversation going into the season isn't necessarily about where the Bulls are headed as much as it is what the Bulls need to do to protect that draft pick. And as a guy who spent 15 years in the league, I wonder, can you relate it to any experience you went through? And how does it have any effect on players as they begin a new season, full of hope and optimism and fresh starts and all those things that represent the beginning of a new year? That probably is not what they want to hear.
Yeah, I can give you a perfect example. I think it was my sixth year I was with the New Jersey Nets. I broke my hand. I got traded to the New Jersey Nets. I broke my hand, and we were playing great basketball before that. Okay, we got on a run, and we were about to make the playoffs. And I broke my hand on Reggie Miller's elbow, skinny elbows, okay? So I'm out for about 2 months, and I get the go-ahead to come back, and I'm out on the court. The doctor gave me the go-ahead. I'm out on the court shooting and everything. I'm about to come back. Willis Reed comes out on the court. He says, hey Kendall, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm getting ready for the game. He's like, no, you're not. We're going for the draft pick. Go back in the locker room.
Wow.
So that's somehow they were going for the draft pick. We ended up getting the 7th pick in the draft, which would have been Kobe Bryant, but they said that they would not come to New Jersey, so it ended up being Kerry Kittles. And teams, they do that. They want to protect the draft pick. And, you know, I don't know what the case is with the Bulls. I think that their main goal is to win games. I mean, that's what it is. And, you know, I don't know how this thing is going to pan out, but I can tell you this. I do think that the Bulls are going to have a much better record than people think that they're going to have. I mean, last night was a throwaway. I think that they're going to play much better in the games coming up this weekend. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
Great stuff, Kendall. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Kendall.
All right, guys.
Good job. Evening.
That is Kendall Gill.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.